This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
What do you think of athletes being used as guinea pigs, pushed to the absolute extremes, not just through the normal training, nutrition, but also through performance-enhancing drugs? Because that's what's happening this weekend at the Enhanced Games in Vegas. After years of controversy, hype, they're happening, and a high-profile Aussie swimmer is taking part. So should we celebrate or condemn this event? And will you be watching? G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hack. Coming up, we're going to be talking the Enhanced Games and the people behind it, selling it as the next Super Bowl.
Science is the biggest asset we have as a society, so let's make use of it.
Yeah, what do you think about those comments? Are you skeptical of all this promotion, the money behind it? Or maybe you're the opposite, you can't wait. You're curious to see all the juiced up athletes battling it out against each other. Do you reckon the Enhanced Games mark a new era in sport? Message in 0439757555. That is coming up later. First though,
Hack.
Okay, so I have to cop heavily reduced benefits and it will maybe make houses become more expensive at a slightly slower rate.
Yeah, more or less.
Great, so everyone before me gets it good and I get it shit.
On Triple J.
Have you given up on the idea of buying property to focus on shares, ETFs, crypto? Is it something you focus a lot of attention on? Because if you do see yourself as a bit of an investor, you dabble here, you dabble there, you've probably got a few thoughts on the government's recent capital gains tax changes that they announced in the budget. These changes set to impact all kinds of investment, not just property, which is what's been getting a lot of the attention. So what's it all going to mean for your financial plan? Will it change your investment strategy? Do you think it's a good idea? Message in 0439 757555. You can also call in 1300 055536. In a bit, we're going to get into some of the reaction with a finance creator who actually got to put her concerns to the Treasurer directly. But first, Hack political reporter Shalala Madora has been looking into why some people are a bit annoyed.
If you've been anywhere near social media in the last week, then you've probably heard a lot of people upset about tax changes in the budget.
I must admit, this past week I've woken up every day feeling really disheartened and this feeling of what's the point?
I actually love Labor's new budget. I love making it a lot harder for Australians to grow businesses.
I thought we were supposed to try and make tax easier for everybody.
It comes down to changes to negative gearing and capital gains tax. We spoke about it last week on Hack in relation to housing, but the changes apply to all investments, including shares, exchange-traded funds or ETFs, and crypto. Under the proposed changes, the 50% capital gains tax discount will be replaced by a tax of at least 30% on profits made above the rate of inflation. The concern from a lot of finfluencers and small business owners is that these changes will stop young people from getting rich in the same way older Australians did, or building wealth outside the property market.
Are you serious? I am gutted. You are basically discouraging intergenerational wealth.
We're risking pulling these ladders away from all young Australians, just as they were finding accessible ways to build wealth for themselves.
Treasurer Jim Chalmers wants you to keep these views in perspective.
One in 10 people under 35 have shares.
He says the tax changes aim to end the distortion in the tax system that favours investment in housing.
Existing housing has been overcompensated and shares have been undercompensated if you look at that 20-year period.
But opposition leader Angus Taylor says the changes will leave people worse off.
These are toxic taxes that will take our country backwards, take investment backwards in this country, and a pathway to poverty rather than prosperity.
Financial analyst Andrew Lilly says he gets why there's a lot of outrage online over the changes.
There has been a proliferation of investment advice that says, look, you're never going to get quickly wealthy by doing the old-fashioned thing. Instead, you should, you know, buy this new cryptocurrency or you should invest in gold.
He says those short-term, high-risk, high-reward investments, which he calls moonshot or YOLO investments, would be worse off under the tax changes. but people who hold on to steadier, long-term investments like ETFs won't be taxed as heavily.
I would say this is an unintended good consequence of the policy, that it is going to tilt people away from these moonshot bets and back towards investments that are more likely to leave you better off.
Hack on Triple J.
Shalala Madora reporting then. Yeah, I'm still keen to hear what you think of these capital gains tax changes. And if you're someone that has ditched housing as a goal because you can't get in and you've shifted your focus to investing in shares, in crypto, why has that been more appealing to you? And will these proposed changes impact your investment strategy? Message in 0439 757 555. Someone on the text line now saying, I'm not going to sell any of my assets, shares or properties until a change of government and the Liberals change the rules, that person says. Another person saying, I'm a 24-year-old business owner and I love every single change the Labor government has made. I think it's going to be a good thing and we should pay our fair share, that person saying. Someone else on the text line, what they need to do is cap investment properties at 5, in my opinion. Okay, some interesting thoughts coming in. And if you've got some ideas about what you would have liked to have seen the government do instead, please message in. But we're going to get into a bit more reaction now with a finance creator and stressing this is not financial advice. We're not telling you what to do with your money here, but just getting some reaction on this really big story. And joining us now is Natasha Etchman, who you may know as Tash Invests. Got a massive following on TikTok and Instagram. She's also written a book, How to Not Work Forever. G'day, Tash. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. How exciting.
Well, I'm excited to have you on because you break down finance for a lot of people and make stuff really easy to understand. And there would be a lot of young Australians who are finding it pretty difficult maybe to wrap their heads around some of these changes that the government has announced in the budget. And we focused a lot on the impact on housing. But the other side of this is how these proposed changes are going to impact those people who have invested in shares or ETFs. What are going to be the impacts there?
Yeah, so if the proposed changes do come into effect, currently how it works is if you hold your shares for over 12 months, you can get a 50% discount on your capital gains tax. They want to remove that and instead replace it with something that's indexed based on inflation, which will make it a lot more interesting to work out the tax on your shares because you'll have to do lots of little individual calculations, which is not ideal. The other change is they want to introduce a minimum 30% capital gains tax, whereas previously it'd just be on whatever your marginal rate ended up being, and then you'd get the discount. So if you are a young person or you're at uni, or maybe you're on parental leave and you sell some shares and you might have paid no tax or maybe 16% tax, you instead will have to pay a minimum of 30% tax, which is less than ideal.
Yeah, what do you make of the changes? And I also note that you were in the budget lockup as you have been before, and you got a chance actually to sit down with the Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, and put some questions to him. What do you think of these changes?
I think they don't quite match up to the objectives. They've tried to say that it's about intergenerational fairness and all around making housing more accessible. But to me, it seems interesting to change things for shares as well as property if the goal here is to make property a less attractive investment.
So you reckon if that was the goal, they'd just make it focus on housing and or property and not really impact those who are invested in shares or ETFs?
Yeah, I've had this issue for a little while, but it's a lot easier to invest in property and the system kind of encourages you to invest in property more than shares and businesses already. Like, it's a lot easier to borrow money for property than those other two things. So changing it across all of the assets doesn't really disincentivize investing in property over other things. It just keeps it on the level playing field with property still being a more easier thing to invest in with lending.
So you sat down with the Treasurer and questioned him about this. Were you happy with his response?
Oh, it's all just like PR answers, unfortunately, to be expected.
Okay, so it was, you're like, it's exactly what I imagined. What did he tell you?
It's just kind of talking about how it's meant to even out the playing field and make, I don't know, drive investment towards more productive assets. And yeah, it's meant to make the housing crisis better over time. And they're going to get 75,000 more people into owner-occupied homes over 10 years and like all of these different things. But it seems like they possibly haven't thought through the impact on all these different areas where, yes, they've thought about housing, but they haven't thought about young people who are dollar cost averaging into shares. They haven't thought about business owners as much. And just the 30% minimum, it seems like they hadn't really considered people like parents.
All right. We've got a lot of messages coming through on this. Someone on the text line now saying, look, the vast majority of young people don't don't have any stake in these changes. Someone else saying, I have shares and see my investments as kind of like a second super account. I'm holding on for a very long term. While the change doesn't help me, it won't change how I'm investing, that person saying. Another person saying, our whole tax system is antiquated and it needs to be fairer. We've also got Rebecca on the line with us now. Rebecca, you've been investing in ETFs for a while. What do you make of these changes?
Just feels like a little bit of a punishment. Like I'm trying to do all the right things, set myself up for the future, you know, store income-producing assets, but instead we're just lumped in with the housing problem.
Yeah, so do you think that this is going to change your strategy for investing or your future plans?
No, I think it's just that we'll have to save longer, unfortunately.
Okay, all right. Well, Rebecca, we've got a lot of people saying similar things to you on the text line now. Thank you so much for speaking with us. Someone saying, yeah, I own some stocks. I'm still not sure how this is actually going to affect me selling them in the future. This is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese speaking with Tash Invests, who is a creator and finance author, Natasha Enchman is her real name, about these changes to capital gains tax, which were announced in the budget. Tash, interested to know what the reaction's been from your followers, because that would include a lot of people in their 20s and 30s who are trying to invest. What have they had to say?
I feel like nearly everyone is angry. It's been very interesting seeing people across all sides being less than happy with things. People are annoyed at politicians for not giving direct answers. And they feel like they've been trying really hard and now all these benefits have been taken away from them. They think that negative gearing being grandfathered in is unfair, which I do agree with. I feel like it should have been phased out rather than just grandfathered in. But I think like a lot of it is also just like when things change, it can be a big shock and it is a lot to understand and there's a lot going on. But at the same time, a lot of people across the spectrum are thinking it's quite unfair.
Can you see some of the positives here? Because there have been economists for a while saying, yeah, with negative gearing, with the capital gains tax concessions, you know, we do need to change these. And they've been saying this for decades. Do you agree with that, that some reform was needed?
Oh, I definitely think tax reform is needed for sure. I think it's just quite hard to stomach for a lot of people when you see more taxes being added to investments, but you're not really getting a meaningful reduction in income tax to make up for it. I think if it was like, yes, they increased capital gains tax, but then they really decreased income tax, you could really see the benefit of it. But a lot of people kind of feel like they're taxed more, but there's no real meaningful benefit coming from it. But I do completely agree that it is unfair that work is taxed way more than investments, and that would be great if that changed. I just think how they've gone about it is interesting.
Do you think there is a bit of a negative connotation here when it comes to being an investor?
Yes, for sure. Definitely. Kind of depends investing in what. Investing in property, there's a lot of negative connotations, but I think investing in shares, people are usually pretty positive about.
Okay, that's interesting. And a lot of people might be thinking, oh, well, if you're investing in shares, it must mean you've got so much money that to spare that you can just play around with. Is that generally the case with young people?
No, you can start with $5 on micro-investing apps. I think it's people are realizing more and more that shares are the easier way to get started. With property, you need a massive deposit. It's a really big decision. But with shares, you can just put in $5, $10, $50 and get started.
And is that how you started?
Yeah, my first investment when I was 18, I bought $1,000 of an ETF and then I started micro-investing from there.
Wow, okay. And a lot of your followers who are interested in investing, why is it? Is it because they see a pathway to financial freedom that way as opposed to, you know, just doing the regular 9-to-5 stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I think some people like that it's more flexible. You can sell things a lot easier than you can a property. Like you can't sell one bathroom, but you can sell a few parcels of shares if you need something. It's easier to get into. It seems more achievable, especially with house prices going up very quickly. A house deposit can feel like that's years and years away, but shares, you can literally put in $5 to get started. So yeah.
Do you think there should be a different set of tax rules for young investors as opposed to people who've been doing this for decades, older generations?
Yeah, something I think is quite unfair that would be helpful to change. I don't know the logistics of this and if this is impossible, but the principal place of residence capital gains exemption on your main home, I feel like that's quite unfair if there's no option for people who don't own their own home, and this kind of applies to younger people. So if you buy a property and you live in it, you can get that capital gains tax-free when you sell it. As the average age of buying your first property increases, all of these young people don't have that capital gains tax-free amount anywhere. So I would love for there to be like a flat, almost like dollar amount that you can invest in shares or a business and be able to get that capital gains tax-free if you didn't own a property. Like I bought an apartment almost 6 years ago, so I have almost $300,000 capital gains tax-free, which feels unfair compared to someone who's just been buying shares the whole time.
It's interesting. I'm trying to think of some positives here for people and younger generations who might be struggling. Do you think one of the positives is that you're seeing people be a bit more financial literate, that they're kind of interested in learning more? Like, you must get lots of questions from people who are saying, what can I do? And, you know, this is my situation. How can I improve it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, rules are always going to change. I think you can almost guarantee, like, that's the only real guaranteed thing, is that nothing will ever be the same and rules will change. And if you earn money, you will be taxed on it, and that's a good thing. There are some people saying, like, oh, is it even worth investing now? But on the flip side, there's other people being like, oh, cool, so now super is a better investment because the tax benefits make more sense there. I should use the first time super saver scheme instead. There's lots of first time buyer schemes and stuff you can use too. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, but I think it's just important for everyone to remember that being taxed means that you've made money, which is a good thing.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having a chat with us, breaking all that down. Really appreciate it. Natasha Etchman from Tash Invests. Speak to you again soon.
Yay, thank you.
And we've got a lot of messages still coming through. Someone says we should ban rent increases because of mortgages going up. Property isn't a guaranteed return on investment and people keep treating it like it is, that person saying. Another person, Sarah in Tasmania, I hope to sell my small business eventually, but the changes to capital gains will make most of my work completely worthless. It's discouraging to say the least. We've actually got Regan on the line from Cairns. Regan, what's your situation? Are you going to have much of an impact on you with these changes if they're brought in?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. We've got a few investment properties and, yeah, obviously selling them now we're going to take a fair hit.
And what do you think of how the government's approach this? You know, it sounds like you're not a fan of the government saying before the election that they weren't going to do it, now deciding that they will.
Yeah, absolutely. When they, you know, make one promise and then do a full backflip on it, it's, it doesn't seem fair.
How are you feeling about the future, Regan, in terms of, like, financial planning and getting ready for the future?
Oh, I was feeling good up until the budget announcements. Like I say, there's going to be a lot of changes now, and there'll be a lot of forward planning to try and get around a few of these changes, just to make it a bit easier.
Yeah. Regan, thank you very much for having a chat with us. I really appreciate it. Someone else on the text line saying, I think the tax changes are fair enough. Now I'd like to see the top tax bracket brought down and tax gas. That person saying, someone else saying, if you make a profit, you should pay tax. We should just make sure we apply it to big business the same. And someone else saying, I sold my shares last year in order to buy a home. I benefited from the CGT discount, but under new laws, my tax burden would have been much higher and it would have made it a lot harder to save for that deposit. Very interesting stuff. All right, we're going to move on.
Hack. There is going to be an Olympics where the athletes are allowed to take roids.
On Triple J.
Yeah, they're calling it the next big thing in sport, the Olympics, but all the athletes doping. This weekend, international athletes, including some from Australia, meeting in Las Vegas for the Enhanced Games. The goal? To try and break as many world records as possible. And organisers are saying this could revolutionise world sport, but critics are saying it's dangerous. So what do you think about all this? Are you into it? What do you think of the Enhanced Games, and will you be watching? Message in 0439 757 555. In a bit, we're going to get into it with a doctor and former athlete, but Jackson Worthington first takes a look.
I'll juice to the gills and I'll break it within 6 months.
Science is the biggest asset we have as a society.
Well, this is a collision of business and sport. The real game is they're trying to sell something.
What are we teaching our children? That they're not going to make it trying hard so they can go and cheat?
When American billionaire Peter Thiel first proposed the Enhanced Games more than 2 years ago now, the idea made quite a splash. The pitch was simple, an Olympic Games-style event that the athletes are allowed to take performance-enhancing drugs. Australian swimming champion James Magnusson was one of the first big-name athletes to show interest, telling the Hello Sport podcast he would sign up if there was prize money on the line.
If they put up $1 million for the 50 freestyle world record, I'll come on board as their first athlete, I'll juice to the gills and I'll break it within 6 months.
Magnusson's comments, which he later said were partly a joke, made headlines around the world. And now he's set to compete at the first ever Enhanced Games in Las Vegas on the weekend. alongside former world champion Ben Proud from the UK and Greece's Christian Golomeev. He'll be racing to break fellow Aussie Cam McAvoy's 20.88 second 50-metre freestyle world record. There's a $1 million US bonus on the line if he does, and $250,000 US awarded to whoever wins the race. McAvoy isn't too worried if someone breaks his record this weekend. He's currently preparing for the Aussie Swim Trials in June and has previously said he'll have nothing to do with the Enhanced Games because any athlete who competes won't be able to race at the Olympics.
There's a lot to lose. If you're associated with the Enhanced, you don't have a lane. I want to have a lane in a 40,000-seater stadium.
Swimming's not the only event on the agenda this weekend. Athletes will also compete in athletics, weightlifting and strongman. Max Martin is the CEO of Enhanced. He wants the Enhanced Games to be like the Super Bowl.
Science is the biggest asset we have as a society, so let's make use of it.
But is this really about sport? Earlier this week, the company behind the Enhanced Games also launched on the New York Stock Exchange. So what are they selling? Broadcast rights or tickets to the games? Nah, they're giving those away for free. Max Martin and his colleagues are selling peptides, the same ones being used by the athletes competing in Las Vegas.
We're very excited to become now hopefully one of the biggest players in the market to supply safely and supervised peptides.
Some doctors are concerned about the potential health impacts of these peptides, with some athletes, including Magnussen, even freezing their eggs and sperm as a precaution. But Max Martin told the ABC athletes are being monitored to make sure the peptides aren't negatively impacting their health. He says the law's the final arbiter. Anything not approved by drug regulators in the US isn't allowed in the Enhanced Games.
Rather than, you know, forcing athletes to take unsafe and unsupervised enhancements, let's take what's happening anyways in the shadows, put it out in the open, put the right clinical and medical regulatory framework in place so that the people that choose to do it can do it safely.
And Magnussen has previously told the BBC he thinks he would have seen signs if there was going to be a lasting impact.
I believe that were there to be long-term implications for my health, there surely would have been some short to medium terms indicators.
We don't know what long-term impacts and harm might be caused to these athletes.
Dr. Catherine Ordway is a visiting scholar at UNSW and an expert in sports integrity.
They're clearly being given a cocktail, and they say they've been given the best medical attention. Well, is that right? Because elite athletes, particularly from wealthy Western countries or European countries and so on, they are already getting the best medical help.
She doesn't think this competition is going to have that big of an impact on the face of sport.
I think it will be a little blip and it will be soon forgotten, much like the Ben Johnson example of running against a horse. It was a bit of a novelty and then we all got over it.
Hack on Triple J.
Jackson Worthington reporting then. Look, a lot of messages coming through on the Enhanced Games. People interested, to say the least. Someone saying, bring it on, break them records. Someone else waiting for the roid rage crash out when someone loses. And another person saying, aren't we already watching souped-up athletes? The best ones just don't get caught, all right? Interesting take. Well, let's get a bit of analysis now with someone who has a take on all this. Dr. Bridie O'Donnell, former professional road cyclist, a doctor and sports broadcaster. G'day, Bridie. Welcome to Hack.
Oh, thanks for having me.
As a former athlete yourself, how do you feel about the Enhanced Games?
Well, I think I agree with Dr. Ordway. I mean, I think it will be a blip. It's only 42 athletes competing. I think it's diabolical. And the only thing that they're saying that is truly honest is we acknowledge we're giving everyone a supervised doping regime and that, you know, we'll all know that they're on certain types of peptides and in performance-enhancing drugs. That said, we don't know what they're on and what they're taking. So that's the tricky part, that they're trying to sell these drugs. They want to make a massive profit, and that's really what this is. These athletes are kind of walking and running and swimming billboards for Live Enhanced, the company that was listed on the stock exchange a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I guess we don't really have an idea of what these athletes will be taking because they're supposedly only taking FDA-approved substances, but if they're not doing any testing, could be anything, right?
Absolutely. And also RFK Jr., who is the health secretary in the United States, pushed the FDA very hard to rapidly approve 12 new injectable peptides just in the last month. So there is there is no data or evidence to tell us if these things do have long-lasting effects. And look, all of these athletes are likely to be incredibly healthy. They're all going to be in their 20s or so. But the whole point is to sell them to 50 and 6-year-olds as part of the wellness industry and the anti-aging industry. So a 50-year-old bloke who's starting to feel tired and might have low testosterone could get told by a doctor at an anti-aging clinic, why don't you try these things? But they may actually have heart disease. They may have cancer. They may have a whole variety of other things that could either interact with these medications or be masked by taking them. And that, for me, is a real danger.
Right. So you're saying from a medical perspective, the risk is very real here health-wise, if not for those athletes that are competing, potentially for people who are watching on and thinking they could do the same. I mean, the argument here, Bridie, is competitors are being really transparent, performance-enhancing drugs are in the world. Some people do take them. So what is wrong if everyone knows the risks? What do you say to that?
Look, I think it's understandable that swimmers and athletes, particularly given they are athletes that dedicate a huge amount of time and energy to being the world's best, and yet they don't get paid the way an NFL player or a basketball player does. So the lure of money and fame is always going to be there. And I think the other point that's really important, because you raise this around risk and harm, athletes put themselves in harm's way all the time. Boxers get literally punched in the face. UFC fighters try and beat the hell out of each other, and cyclists descend off mountains at 100 kilometres an hour wearing nothing but Lycra. So athletes are always going to take risks, and if someone's dangling $1 million in front of them, they are consenting adults and they can choose to do what they want. But I think what we know is athletes aren't always taking calculated risks over their long-term life. They're thinking about now and tomorrow and maybe next year. They're not thinking, what will my life be like as a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old?
This is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm speaking with Bridie O'Donnell, former professional athlete, a doctor, sports broadcaster as well. We're talking about the Enhanced Games, which kick off this weekend after a big build-up of many years, a lot of controversy, a lot of hype. Hearing from people on the text line now, someone saying it'll be great, something for all the gym junkies to aim for. Another person saying, is it really a world record if the only way to break it is if someone enhances their body with performance drugs? That person asking. Someone else saying, yeah, I'm all for the Enhanced Games, but world records do not apply. All records should be brand new and set for the future Enhanced Games. Bridie, it does seem like there are a lot of people here who maybe aren't against this idea just because they're curious and they want to know what would happen if you were to push things to the absolute extreme. I'm wondering, are you curious at all?
Well, I think we've seen athletes push themselves to the extreme all the time, and often that happens in an ultra event, or we're going to see it here in Victoria when Scott Pendlebury plays his 433rd game, so, you know, 20 or so years of football. It's understandable that sports fans want to see higher, faster, stronger, and there'll be a big component of how quickly can these athletes run or swim. I mean, that said, Magnussen has already been on a regime last year and swam slower when he was bigger. So bigger doesn't always mean faster in the pool. So a big part of this is the actual physical spectacle, the size of these athletes and how they look in their polyurethane suits. And that, for me, I think is another risk. So I don't blame anyone to be curious to watch the contest. But what we need to think about too is impressionable minds, young people, particularly young men, thinking, oh, I need to be bigger, I need to have big muscles, I need to be incredibly lean. Looks maxing is a big thing these days. And so understanding what that might mean for how they might get these kinds of peptides on the black market or try and build up a regime to think, yeah, I want to look like Magnussen.
You could be all a bit of a fizzer and a bit embarrassing if none of the world records are even touched at the Enhanced Games, which is a possibility, I guess. People look good but maybe aren't backing it up with the actual performance. I mean, Bridie, just quickly, you know a lot of athletes, speak with a lot of athletes. What has been the reaction from them?
I think, pleasingly, most people aren't even noticing this is happening. They're giving away tickets for free in Las Vegas. It's not going to be broadcast on any free-to-air channels here in Australia, to my knowledge. I think it'll come and go. And if anyone does win $1 million, maybe they'll get their 15 minutes of fame for a time. I think the organisers are majorly focused on revenue from selling these types of drugs and medications. So it's a medium to longer-term analysis of what those impacts on people are. I don't think this is going to change sport in any way.
Interesting stuff, Dr. Bridie O'Donnell. Really appreciate you joining us. Thanks for coming on Hack.
Thanks so much, Dave.
And there's so many messages still coming through. Someone else saying this is a disgusting use of athletes to promote a category of supplementation that is under-regulated. Sure, they're monitored. The people who buy these peptides aren't, that person saying. Someone else, I'm all for it. Another person saying we could be ending world hunger or something else instead, but we have the enhanced games. Another person, of course billionaires are messing with the human body, that person says. And someone else saying steroids have been around forever. Some of our favourite athletes and celebrities are doing it. There is mixed opinions on this. I'm going to be really curious to see the reaction after these games, to see just what people think. Maybe we'll cover it again next week. But that is all we've got time for on Hack for now.